Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel this morning. Our scripture reading is Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Nice and short. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amanda was thrilled when she got that. Please be seated. Well, several years ago, I was planning my second trip to Africa. This time I was joining a group of Methodists who would be working for 2 weeks at the Ilula Orphanage in central Tanzania. I had the opportunity of teaching a group of local pastors about a history of Methodism and theology, and it was quite an experience. Well, after many months of saving money for the trip and packing my bags, I had my course that was ready to teach, and I was filled with excitement about the weeks ahead. A few weeks before we were set to leave on our trip, though, those of us due to leave on the trip met for this last-minute meeting. We discussed all the usual things that you'd expect to, before you were going to go on a big trip like that, like when to go get to the airport and what to make sure that you pack and what not to. But at the end of our meeting, the excitement, it was palpable, and we were about to embark on the trip of a lifetime. Only there was one last item of business to address. The leader of our team handed each of us a form that needed to be signed and notarized. It was titled Notification of Death and Disposition of Remains. In the event of our death, and it didn't say unlikely, the form directed the U.S. Embassy and the Bishop's Office to handle my possessions and notify my family. As I filled in the blanks and as I signed my name with the appropriate instructions, it was a stark reminder of the maybe a slight risk of the adventure. Now, we were not going into a war zone and we were not, you know, putting our life abjectly in danger, but there is a risk, as many of you know, of traveling across the world and being in a foreign culture for over 2 weeks. Signing that form about how I wanted my affairs to be handled in the event that something did happen was a very stark reminder that my two-week trip to Tanzania came with a little bit of risk that at least I should appreciate. And I did after signing that form. You and I were so blessed to live in a part of the world, a part of the country where we can feel pretty comfortable in our community. We don't deal with crime and vandalism as much as some folks do in the city, and we enjoy a relatively peaceful existence here in our rural area. Now, this doesn't mean we still don't calculate risk. We certainly do spend our lives trying to reduce risk. We buy insurance for our homes and insure them against disaster. We our cars against accidents, and we carry health insurance in case we get sick. We buy smoke detectors and install security systems. We save for retirement. We sometimes buy extended warranties. By the way, I've been trying to contact you about it. Life is full of risk, you know, some that we're consciously aware of, some we're so excited about the situation that we don't really consider it. Well, often some of the greatest commitments involve risk, and Jesus understood this more than anybody. Because we come to chapter 10, this very short scripture, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for ministry. He's about to send them out, but he doesn't hide the danger. He tells them before, if you remember what we've been talking about the last few weeks, or you've read the scriptures beforehand, he says, he doesn't exactly hold back. He says they're going to be a sheep among wolves. He says they'll be misunderstood, that they'll sometimes be rejected by their own families. They'll face opposition because they belong to him. And so imagine hearing all of this and wondering, is it worth it? You see, Jesus gives the risk first, and it's almost like making them sign that form. And then he talks about reward in today's short passage. Now, today's passage, it may be short, but it's the conclusion of this longer version that Jesus has been talking to his disciples about. Matthew's gospel has five main sections in it. And, you know, there's like the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the missionary discourse whenever he sends them out to go as disciples. Jesus has gathered the 12 together to prepare them for ministry. He calls them by name. He gives them authority. He sends them out. But before they even take a step, he tells them exactly what they're getting into. He tells them, as I said, that they're going to be sheep among wolves, that they'll stand before religious leaders and civil authorities, that they'll be misunderstood and opposed, and in some cases, even betrayed by members of their own families. He tells them that following him means taking up their cross and following him, which would have been a really startling image. This was before his crucifixion. So he really set this symbol of execution, Roman execution, right in front of them. You see, Jesus never minimizes the cost of discipleship. He puts it right out there, like that form that I had to sign on my way to Tanzania. And I mean, imagine being one of those disciples. You've answered Jesus's call. You're ready to go. And then Jesus gives one warning after another, it seems. And they probably begin to wonder, even a little bit in their head, Lord, is it worth it? Do we really want to do this? Is the cost really that important? And that's why in verses 40 through 42, I think are so small, but so meaningful. They're really just, it's not just a message about hospitality led by itself. These are Jesus's words, I believe, of encouragement to his disciples after he really lays it out there and says, here's what you're going to expect as disciples. And Matthew's first audience would have read this a few decades after Jesus would have spoken them. And they too were living in a society that was very hostile. Many were Jewish believers who lived after Jesus's resurrection, and they too experienced rejection and strained family relationships and opposition because they confessed Jesus as the Messiah. They knew the risks that Jesus was talking about were not hypothetical. They were a part of everyday discipleship. And so it was against this backdrop. It was against all of this context that Jesus assures his disciples that no matter where they go, no matter what hardships they faced, no matter what struggles they encountered, nor opposition they experienced, they would never go alone. Jesus started off, he said, whoever welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. It's about relationships. Jesus said, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. I just think it's this beautiful progression. Receive the disciple, and then Christ is welcomed. And then anyone who welcomes Christ welcomes God. It's this threefold relationship of God, of Jesus, and disciple as they go forth to serve. In one sentence, Jesus seems to be binding together the Father, the Son, and the disciples as they go and serve. And so Jesus was really saying, whenever you go out, you're representing Christ. And as you represent Christ, you're representing God. It's this wonderful relationship that disciples have with each other, with Christ, and with God. And Jesus is basically saying, when they receive you, they receive me. And I just think it's really awesome how Jesus really establishes that relationship, that there is this connection that disciples have, that we, as we go out to serve, it's a connection that we have with Christ and with God. In a sense, Jesus is saying that in him we are a new creation. We're a new identity. And I think that was to assure them that no matter what they encountered in their life, no matter what they encountered in their ministry, that they were doing this together, and they were doing it with Christ and with God. As they became disciples, they had this new familial structure. They had a new identity as Christians in which they serve. And I think it's very true for us here at Broadway United Methodist Church, that we have our own families, our own systems, our own friends, our own relationships. But by nature of us being in a church, we're the body of Christ. And we also, this is a new identity as well. The Bible in different ways, I think of Paul in one of his letters, he says, in Christ, we are a new creation. And so I think just by nature of us being in a congregation together, this is a family. And I think we're proud of that. And it's an awesome thing that we have as members of a church, is that we have this relationship with one another as well as with God and with Christ. But then, having reminded the disciples who they are, Jesus tells them and us what this relationship looks like in daily life. He talks three times about welcoming one another. He said, if you're welcomed as a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's welcome. If you're welcomed as a righteous person, you'll be received as a righteous person. And then he talks about being received as one of the little ones. I don't know if any of you remember on like Sesame Street, where it's like, which one of these do not belong? In this trio, which one of these doesn't belong? I mean, you have a prophet and the righteous person, and then a little one, a child. Doesn't seem like they go together. Well, I think Jesus was saying, you know, they expected the prophet, and they expected someone that's a righteous one. But we know, especially throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus cared very much for the least of these, the little ones, the children. Children in Jesus's day and in ours, because how many times do we hear people say children are little petri dishes? Whether or not it's true, I don't know. But in Jesus's day, children were seen as vulnerable. They were seen as having disease. They were seen as maybe ignorant and not smart. And yet Jesus picked a little one, a child, to represent the disciples as they go out into the world. I think that's very powerful. I think it was powerful in that Jesus, who loved children and said, let the little children come to me. I think Jesus was also telling us as disciples, when we ourselves are sent out, that there's an element of a child in us as a child of God. We find ourselves vulnerable, don't we? Trying to be disciples in this world today, trying to be the church in the world today, we feel like, at least I feel like, I don't have all the answers. I went to seminary for all those years. I have been a pastor for almost 23 years, and it just seems like things are always changing, and I don't have the information and the knowledge that I wish I had. I think we feel that as a church, and I think I really liken that to what Jesus said about being a little one, being vulnerable, needing God and needing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And so we go out as prophets, telling the truth about Christ when it's easy and when it hurts. We strive to be righteous in the name of God and to follow God's will and his way. And yet we also go forth as very vulnerable disciples, relying on each other in our church family, relying on those who support us in so many different ways, and relying on God's grace and the Holy Spirit. So just like that form, it seemed, that I filled out before I went to Tanzania, it just seems Jesus puts it out there. There's a certain risk in being a disciple. And I'm not talking about risk, you know, for us in terms of life, you know, life threatening. But I think for us, the risk is really putting ourselves out there, trying something new, as we have done. And sometimes it works, and sometimes we flop. Our new ideas work, and sometimes they don't. But I think Jesus is calling us to go out and to do what we can to be a little risky for the kingdom of God. And so that's the challenge as we go forth, one family as and one body of Christ called to share God's love. And really vulnerable as we are, sharing the love of Christ with others and relying on the Holy Spirit and relying on each other as we do God's work in the world. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you call us to be disciples. Lord, send us out and help us to be risky for your kingdom. Help us to do new things and to share your kingdom of God when it's comfortable and also when it's not. Put us into new situations. Put us into opportunities to serve you, that others may know of your gracious love. We can rely upon each other and you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.